Morning, everyone. I've got the privilege of just reading the scripture for today. I'm reading from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 6, and this is the New American Standard. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling.
Okay. So, don't know if last week you saw Jeff's mother is visiting from New Zealand. They're sorting out a couple of things after his dad's passing earlier this year. So they spent the past week in some of that. And so we sent him away just to have a final weekend with him. So they're out in Hermanus. And we can pray for him as always. Okay. Right, so this scripture. I went onto the internet and I was looking for a joke about women submitting to their husbands. And I couldn't find any. It does seem to be a rather serious topic. And I'm sure when Wes read that women submit, the emotional energy in the room at least doubled. Yeah. But can I first just start and say that we serve a beautiful God. Absolutely beautiful God. My wife has got this thing that when she prays, she'll say, "Jesus, you are beautiful." And I thought, man, that is just a bit weird initially when she did that. That's just a bit weird. I don't see God. Where's the beauty thing? So I asked God, "Lord, please show me this thing about you being beautiful." It's been interesting. It's been really blessed, and it's not like I'm looking at my wife's beautiful face, that kind of beautiful, but there are definite times when I have the absolute conviction of Jesus being right there. It makes everything right. The beauty of the feeling of His presence. It's absolutely beautiful. And our Lord Jesus, He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Creator God. He is the bright morning star. He's the Lion of Judah. He's the Lily of the Valley. He's the Rose of Sharon. He is beautiful. He is beautiful. Psalm 50 verse 2 says, "Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, our God shines." Zion meaning a holy place. Meaning the kingdom of heaven. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Zechariah 9 verse 9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. For how great is his goodness and how great is his beauty." Now, our Lord is beautiful. And I don't know if you've ever heard it said that the worshipper, whether or not he's a godly Christian worshipper or some other idol worshipper, the worshipper becomes like the God that he serves. We literally in deliverance will see somebody taking on the shape of the demon or whatever that's inside of him. But the beauty for me today is that I can look into your faces and I can see Jesus looking back at me. Okay? I can have the privilege of seeing the work that the Lord has done, and I can worship Him as beautiful. I want to thank you. Thank you for allowing God to work inside of you. Thank you for demonstrating the God that you serve. Because this is our purpose. This is why we were made, is that we can point to Him. You remember that example that I gave, that if the kingdom of heaven is at hand, Jesus is like right here, and we must open the window. Help others to look in. Thank you that you do that. Okay. The goal, Peter told us before, is that we should be holy, that we should be set apart. Okay. Like, think about a group, and you take a group and you put a couple on one side. Okay. Some are in the in and some are out. Okay. So peeps, we're in the out. Okay. We are not in. Okay. And you shouldn't want to be in. We are out. And our outstickingness, that points to Jesus. Okay. What we do when we stay in the out, okay, that points to Jesus. Okay. He is God. He is Savior. Okay. He is our Lord. Right. Into our text. So our text today starts with likewise. Likewise. Or wives, likewise, depending on the translation that you read. But because it starts with likewise, we need to back up a little bit to see what is this, what are we going to compare this section to? Okay, so let's track back and we go to 1 Peter 2 verse 21. 1 Peter 2 verse 21. Those of you that have your Bibles open, please go there. If you don't have your Bible here, please find a Christian and sit next to it. First time I heard that, it was funny. Okay, 1 Peter 2 verse 21. Okay, let's just pray. Let's pray first. Our Father God, thank you that we can know you as present, as being right here with us. A loving, awesome, beautiful, beautiful God. And we want to declare, Lord, in our being that we are here to worship you, and that nothing, Lord, nothing we will allow to raise its head against you. I want to pray that your Spirit will be here with us, that you by your Spirit yourself will be teaching us. Please guide my words, Lord, that I will only speak that which is to your glory and that worships your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Good. 1 Peter 2 verse 21. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sin in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. I thought, what an amazing scripture. All the his and he and him, like right there. There's no question. The one we are focusing on here. The one we are focusing on here is Jesus. Okay. He's the one that we will be honoring. He's the one that we will be worshiping. And we won't be distracted by anything. Amen. You preach it, sister. Okay. Right. Jesus right in the middle. Romans 11 verse 36. It says, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. So Jesus, and the work that he did for us, that is the focus. And we can't go to anything in life, neither scripture, anything that we're busy with, we can't go to anything in life without that knowledge, without putting Jesus right in the middle of what we want to do. It changes your perspective. So now we go into 1 Peter 3 verse 1. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands. Other translations will say, be submissive to your own husbands. Thank you. I like the emphasis. The emphasis, really. The Lord works in mysterious ways. Thank you, Lord. Okay. So that this is a contentious topic goes without saying. Okay. It's emotional. Okay. And so why, may you ask, why is this contentious? You know, why does this thing stir so much emotion? Is it that women, not unlike men, are just naturally rebellious, okay, and they don't submit? Okay. Is it that men are just so unworthy of being submitted to, so unworthy of respect? What is it? The answer is yes. Sometimes, and what's natural to the flesh is we are rebellious. Okay, we do exalt ourselves, and we do not submit. We don't like that. Our flesh doesn't go there. But it is also true that power gets abused. We're in a broken world. Okay, power gets abused, and people suffer, and relationships become seriously uncomfortable. Okay, we have to, we feel uncomfortable. And yet, the Lord gives us this word. But why this is so difficult is not as important as the beauty of the fruit of when it is applied. 1 Peter 3 verse 1, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands. Very bold that, your own husbands. So that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. We started off saying that we as believers are here to look and point at Jesus. And here at Calvary, we've got three pillars that we feel that God has given us that helps us to stand and grow in faith, help us to be loyal to the Lord. We say the first one is the Word. We believe in the infallibility of the Word, and we go through the Word in detail. We want the Word to minister to us. The second thing is we want to do community. We want to seriously connect with each other. And the third one is outreach. Outreach. It doesn't help if we just keep on getting and we don't minister to each other. And no place in the world is outreach more real than in a marriage relationship. Okay? We have been called for each other, to raise each other up to the image of Christ. We have the privilege of being in the other one's presence continuously and minister to them. To be before the living God, to be the God of in front of the God of love. And that which the God of love gives us, we can minister onto this person. That is our calling. Okay. First, you were a daughter, you were a son, then you were a husband. That's a calling, or a wife. It's a calling. Okay, one endowed, ordained by God. Okay? It is your calling. Now, if we want to... If you, in ministry or in evangelization, there's a very key principle. If you want somebody else to see Jesus, if you want somebody else to see Jesus, because that would be salvation. If you want somebody to see and know Jesus, then you as the evangelist need to see and see and know Jesus first. You need to see and look at Jesus first. And wives, in your battle with your husbands, it's the same. You want him to get the love of God and give that love to you. For that, he needs to see Jesus, and that's your calling. You wanna guide him. You wanna love him into doing that. Right. So let's go get a little close to home. When the wife does this, like our scripture said, then the heart of the husband is drawn to God, and his heart is won. God wins his heart. Now, when me and the missus were newlyweds, and we had this unique privilege of living in the bushes of Mozambique for the first 9 years of our marriage. So the bush. And by that time, if you wanted to send a letter, it took 3 months to get a reply. There was no phoning mommy. I couldn't phone my dad. And it being a normal marriage, things got pretty heated. The physical comforts not around very much. Being young and very ambitious, made lots of mistakes, and often I hurt my wife because I was stupid. There were many times that I did not protect her, especially in front of friends or family. There was I think once that I forgot her. Should have picked her up. I didn't. I forgot about her. did not go down well. She was in the bush. Lions, natives, really not pretty. Really bad. There was one other thing. I was not tuned to her needs many times, and I'm still alive. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Grace, grace, and grace, and grace upon grace. So there were many times that I was flat out in the wrong. That I was either being a complete jerk, and I was not tuned to a need. I had all kinds of real spiritual excuses for why I wasn't doing that. But I was just wrong. So all I could expect is a tongue lashing. The cold shoulder, that was like the normal thing you could expect. But I had the grace of my wife, looking to God, I eventually came up with a definition for a successful marriage. You want the definition. It's when you wake up in the morning, and you turn slowly to her side, and she's still there. The Lord worked. She gave me grace. But when she looks at the Lord, the amazing thing was that I thought she was awesome. But the amazing thing was that I saw God. I saw his mercy coming through. I saw his grace come through. And he won my heart. All kinds of stupid stuff from the past. Rejection, inferiority. I saw manipulation coming out. And the Lord beat that thing a mortal blow. Because of the grace that I received. My heart was won because my wife was looking to God instead of looking at the closest sharp object she could throw my way. I did duck a couple of times, but even not being hit was grace. Okay. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." And I could see through her submission how my selfishness, my pride, my ambition got mangled, man. And God won. And that's the goal, that God will win. Okay, that our hearts will be turned to God and that He will be worshipped in everything. Verse 3. "Do not let your adornment be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or clothing you wear." So let me right from the start say, ladies, please don't stop making yourselves pretty. Okay? It really worships the Lord, and you are the crown of your husband. Okay? And if there's love between a husband and a wife, a beautiful wife brings glory to the husband. So please don't think that this is what the scripture says. Proverbs 31 verse 30 says, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." Okay? So, women have got a superpower. Okay? Women have got superpowers. Okay? And they have the ability to influence men. Okay? They have this ability to turn our heads. Okay? We, by the grace of God, by looking to His Spirit, okay, try to resist that, okay, but the fact is, carnal man is fleshly, okay. As long as I'm in this thing, okay, I'm gonna have temptations, I'm gonna have challenges coming my way, okay, and I need to make a godly decision about it. But the fact is, women have the ability to draw men's attention. And something that is natural for a man is flesh. Oh man, flesh is pretty. Okay? Curves. It just gets the attention. So flesh and curves. Okay? It's not going away. Okay? We try to think spiritual about it and we need the Holy Spirit to guide us within it. But the way in which a woman dresses can help that. So, women, if you can't get away from flesh and curves, you need to choose what flesh do you want the man to focus on? Okay. So, I had this conversation with my wife, with my daughter. Okay. And it went something like this. It says, "You are looking for that special somebody that God chose for you." Okay. Right, that God made for you. There you are. Okay, good. So, what will the nature of that relationship be like? What are you looking for when you want that relationship with that special somebody? You want somebody that will really be interested in you. You are not just your flesh on the outside. Okay, you want somebody to really love you, to focus on who you are. You want a soulmate. Yeah. So, if you want a soulmate, you need to get that guy to focus on your soul. You're a gee. So, what's the windows to the soul? The eyes. The eyes are the window. Okay. You don't have to worry about the rest of your body. We are men. Our attention will naturally go to your body. Okay. It's in this world, men's attention will go there. Your challenge, ladies, is get him to focus on your eyes. Okay? And the way that you dress, the way that you adorn yourself, okay, does that. And in the young women that are around you, this is something that you with wisdom can guide them in. Okay? Lead the young women to draw men's attention to the eyes. Okay. Good. Yana, we still good? Okay. Right. The purpose of everything is that individually or collectively, okay, we will worship God. And we don't want to separate. We are masters of segregation, okay, in which we think church here and we think real life over there. And if you look at the book of Peter, it is amazing. He's got these general concepts, like we will worship God, and he puts God and Jesus there. But then he says, okay, everybody's heads goes like this when we say we want to worship God. Nou gaan die takkie die deur tref. Okay. That's why last week he started with authority. Okay. We need to recognize authority. Okay. Because it's real. We feel it. When I get to the end of the month and I have to pay VAT, I don't like it. Okay. But I will worship God. Okay. Because that authority was appointed to me. Okay. A second thing that he puts in here is women, submit to your own husbands. Okay, and we want to worship and we want to adore him in that. Verse 4, but let your adornment be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. Now, when we think of relationships, a very common sin that exists is the one of manipulation. Okay? You know, that thing where we guide the other person into doing what we will, okay, or what we want, okay, we put the levers on. And if I want something to be done, I go for the big guns. Okay? Whatever can give me leverage to move that person. Okay? It is the most natural fleshly thing that we do. Okay, we want our will. Okay, we don't necessarily want God's will. And manipulation is unfortunately something very, very prevalent in marriages. Okay, a big tool. Okay, that's in that toolbox is sex. Okay, or the absence of sex. Major tool. And the Lord does not allow you to use that. Okay. The Lord wants you to look at him, not manipulate. Corinthians 10 verse 3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. We want to, in everything, in our relationships, we want God to guide. We want God to be the one that brings about change. You're in this relationship with your husband, ladies specifically speaking to you, but also men with your wives, and they don't do what you like. Now they need to change, okay? Because this is not lekker. Okay. So what are you going to do about it? So you're going to scream and shout. You're going to put too much salt in his food. Okay. Or is there something else that you're going to do? You're going to get a tantrum, not speak to him. Okay. Go sleep on the couch. Okay. That separation. But the change that we want is we want the work of God, the Spirit of God, in the heart of the partner, the one that I love, the one that God gave me. I want the Spirit to work in his or her life. So I want to point them there. I want to do what God wants me to do. This adornment of the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit. It reminds me of that movie War Room. Did you see the movie War Room? Please, if you haven't, please see that thing. You can go and see it again. Here's this frail, smallish old lady, and she takes everything in her life. She takes to her prayer closet, Okay, and she's got all of these sticky notes up, and she prays for these people, and she marks them off. It's an amazing story. Okay, please go and check it. I want to tell a story, and some of you have heard it. Please forgive me for that. I just think it fits in so well over here. It's a story of Martha. Okay. Martha, her story was told by an attorney in America. He was on the board of directors of a private Christian school. You can go and look for the 7 peculiar characteristics of a Christian school. And this was his first point. So he said at their school they had this janitor, and his name was Martha, and he says to call Martha average, okay, was to be highly complimentary. Okay, Martha was not pretty, okay, not by a long shot. Martha was not athletic in any way. There was really not much to look at when you look at Martha, but Martha led more children to the Lord than all of the other teachers combined. Martha led this attorney that was also a pastor, led one of his children to the Lord. He asked his child, "Why Martha? Why Martha?" And the kid says, "Dad, I don't know. But when I needed Jesus, she was there." So this puzzled this guy. They asked Martha, "Martha, why? Why does the Lord work through you? Why do you turn so many people to the Lord?" And Martha says, "I don't know." So one morning, he gets to school. They had this very early board teachers meeting, and he needed to prep some for it. So like 4 o'clock in the morning, he gets there. He parks in the parking lot. It's snowing outside. There's, what is this, American, what about 20 centimeters of snow lying out there. And there's one car in the parking lot. Okay. So what's happening here? Nobody's supposed to be here. Okay. And lo and behold, there's some steps going into the school. He walks up to the front door. It's locked, but there's steps. So he's ready. He's got his phone out. He's about to phone 911. He unlocks. He goes into the foyer and he's listening. And he hears some talking. And he gets to the passageway and it gets louder and louder. Their doors had these little glass frames in them. And he gets to this door and he peeks through the door. And there's Martha. Okay? It's early morning. Central heating's not been put on. It's cold. Okay? And she's on her knees. And she's busy praying for the kid that'll be sitting in that chair in a couple of hours from them. He said he stood there for about half an hour. Martha was busy praying, not big, clever prayers, just crying before God. "God, this one's got nothing. This one doesn't know you. His family doesn't know you. Lord, give me the soul." And she moved from one chair to the other and she prayed that prayer. And then this attorney knew that Martha, that had nothing going for her. She had no power. Knew that she's got no power to change or influence this life. So she had to go to the one that's got all power. And he will change. And he guides, he directs that. So verse 5. "For this is like how the holy women who hoped in God used to ordain themselves by submitting to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord." So Paul also echoes Peter in Ephesians 5 verse 22. "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands." It's the commandment of God. Okay. Today I'm just the messenger. Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay. So when God designed life, husband, wife, he thought out this whole thing. Okay? He knew adoring him, worshiping him, is the purpose of life. So he designed a way in which everybody that gets involved with a mom and dad, okay, the kids, the uncles, the friends that'll be looking at that thing, will be able to see him, will be able to encounter him. And that happens when this functions. When husbands love and honor their wives, when wives obey and respect their husbands. It points to Jesus. It's part of that holy otherness, that being put aside. Okay, that's what sticks out and that points to Jesus. Our Savior is this. My husband is wrong, he's rude, he's abusive. Okay, but that's him. That's him and God busy working there. Okay. I will trust in the Lord that he will protect me. He will provide for me, and he will be the one bringing the change in the life of the one that he gave me. The idea of submitting to your own husbands is not popular according to this world. Okay? This world has got its own standards. But as believers, we are playing for a different audience, an audience of one. Okay, we want to worship and adore one. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2 says, "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." A mentor of mine used John 5 to teach me Christian evangelization. And he quotes verse 19. Jesus is busy speaking, and Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise." So you meet your a person, your husband, okay, and he's doing something that you don't like, okay, and you want him to change, okay, guns out, okay. You may not manipulate him, ladies, but you look for what the Lord is doing, okay. He gives you the guidelines. He will reveal to you the strategy that he wants you to follow. That strategy will come to you, will hear his voice along the path of submission. Okay? You cannot hear the voice of God for and about your husband if it is not under submission. As long as there is rebellion, you will not hear the voice of God for him. Okay? Will it be nice? No, it won't be nice. It won't be nice. But it will be joyful, because you will be with God and you will be fulfilling the will of God. We are not here for nice. We are here for something bigger. We want to worship and honor the Lord no matter the cost. Okay, we put him first, and we want to worship and adore him. In a way, ladies, you can say that you get to a situation where your husband is unable to love you. He has got no natural love that he can give you. Okay, in that specific, or he doesn't understand it. Okay. So your goal is, since he doesn't have it himself, he needs to get to the source of love, the one that is love himself, and that which he finds there, that you want. You want the love of God to flow through your husband and onto you. So you guide your husband that way. last section. How are we doing? Okay. Verse 6b. So let me just back up quickly. We pick up. No, I'm wrong here. Maybe I should read my Bible. Here we go. Okay. As Sarah obeyed Abram, calling him Lord, whose daughter you are, if you do, and are not afraid with any terror. And you are her children if you do not do, if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. So under no circumstances do I want to make light of really difficult situations. Even amongst Christians, there are very loveless relationships. Okay? Husbands that simply do not get it right. Okay? They never had an example. Maybe they don't know the Lord really. They just know it in name. Okay, I don't know. I don't want to make light about that. But the Lord is the Savior. And the elders of this church, the leaders of this church, are available to you. Sometimes it's difficult to hear the voice of the Lord by yourself. You get stuck in a situation. You get battered around and around, and you're in the circle. You can't hear the word of the Lord. Then I want to invite you. Please come. Please come and so that we can help think, so that we can help pray, so that we can help to get the will of the Lord. Because fear in a relationship is the absence of faith. Okay? Fear does not see God. Fear does not honor God. Okay, but faith does. Okay? Faith helps us to see God. Okay? Faith helps us to think in terms of God about a situation. And God can give us the strategy to go forward. Living a life that points to Jesus is not easy, and it is not acceptable in this world. Okay? God chooses us, as Peter said before, to be holy, to be set apart. Okay? Ladies, and yeah, we've got phenomenal women in this church, and you teach me about God on a continuous basis, and for that I want to thank you, and I want to encourage you in this aspect. If you want to say that you worship and you adore the Lord, don't let anything in your life be excluded from that. And worship the Lord in your marriage. In suffering, 1 Peter 1 verse 13, therefore prepare your minds for action, and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to say amen on that. Okay. It is not easy. Okay, it's not a light word. It's not a popular word. But it's the word of God. And as in the beginning we said, that He is present. He is real. He is loving. He is good. And He will work all things to the good of those that love Him. Ladies, may you love God and submit to your husbands. Let's pray. Our Father God, we want to lift you up, Lord. Yeah, also as men, as we hear this message, Lord, we are in fear and trembling before you, Lord, to be worthy of the gift that you have given us in our wives. I want to ask, Lord, that you will walk with us to be worthy of that. I want to come and pray in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, that you will pour out your Spirit on each and every lady that is in this room, Lord. That you will heal her, that you will raise her up to be a woman of God, Lord, as she submits to her husband. Will you fill her with wisdom, Lord? I want to come and pray. Will you empower each small action of love, every small action of blessing that she bestows on her husband, will you fill that with the almighty power of the Holy Spirit and win their husbands, Lord, for you? May you be worshipped in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen.